Most of us here were baptized, and a few here will be baptized at the Easter Vigil, which is coming up in about 11 weeks or so. But yet, as babies, we don't remember. Well, I do, because I was a child prodigy, you know. None of us remembers. There's a whole protocol that, there are a lot of funny wedding stories, a few funny funeral stories, believe it or not. Baptism sometimes has some funny ones, too. In Hillsboro, there was an issue with a church up the road whose priests had lost their visas. That may sound familiar to a few of you that have been here for a while. And so we ended up doing their baptisms, Spanish ones, and ours. That Hillsboro was the second largest parish in the diocese at that time. So we had quite a few. I was doing between 25 and 50 a month. So it was kind of like an assembly line of babies, you know. And with Sister Guadalupe, who's in residence here, she has an office here, and then her community, she serves the valley. And so we had a kind of a protocol in which if a cranky baby showed up, we would normally put that baby last so the other ones wouldn't get ideas. And they did. You know, if one baby hears a bunch of howling, they all start howling, and maybe they think we're pouring boiling oil on them. I don't know. But, you know, afterward, usually they're okay and they forgive us, and sometimes they want to go back in the water, although they didn't like it. They don't like having water poured on their heads, you know. But we try to tell the parents and godparents, and especially the parents, you are the primary educators of the faith. We try to help you with the children. As you can see, every 3 weeks or so, we bring them out for Children's Liturgy of the Word. Not every week, because we don't want them to get the impression that parts of Mass are to be avoided. Well, sometimes, you know, my sermon maybe is a blessing. But you know, we vary that a little bit. And in the same way, we can help them. And we do with religious ed and other things that we do. But the parents are the primary educators. You know, my parents dropped me off at CCD. I'm dating myself here. The Confraternity of Christian Doctrine. And then that was changed while I was in youth group to something else. Bishop last night mentioned the Baltimore Catechism. And some of us who are older, how many remember the Baltimore Catechism? Yeah. So it had advantages and disadvantages. But the point is, when a baby comes to be baptized, occasionally we'll get the question, why are you baptizing babies that don't have faith yet? Well, it goes back to the New Testament. You find Philip, for example, will baptize a whole family. They don't delineate, they don't take the babies out and say, wait, they have to go through RCIA. You know, that hadn't been developed yet. They were baptized with the faith of the family. Later on, as most of Europe became Christian, it became mostly adults that were coming in the church. But so you see a kind of a switch to that. But the baby, of course, has no faith, and it is the parents who are covering the child with their faith. They will say, I do, or I will, just like at marriage, and it has the same solemnity as a wedding vow. We're making a promise before God to try to educate our children by word and deed, by bringing the church, praying together as a family. This is not an easy thing. Children will grow up and make their own decisions. The parents will have to let go. Each of us has to do that at some point. Hopefully own the faith ourselves. I did. I hope you're making your own decision to be here. It's not just perfunctory. And baptism is also another thing that's interesting about baptism. So occasionally I'll get a request for an exorcism. Sometimes somebody's been drinking too much. I used to get those at midnight. I say, call me back in the morning. And what do you know, the devil was gone in the morning. I've had a couple of those. But I send them to the archdiocese. But the truth is, priests do exorcisms on a regular basis. One is at baptism, where there's a prayer of exorcism. It's not always pointed out, but it's in there. And the other is in reconciliation. That is the most powerful of all exorcisms in the Catholic Church, is reconciliation. And one of the beauties, and the bishop pointed this out last night, is that an adult that comes in, or a youth anybody over the age of seven, actually, that comes into the church and is baptized as anybody over the age of reason, they don't have to go to confession because baptism confers an automatic forgiveness of sins. It's a one-time offer. Granted, many will come into reconciliation beforehand. It's very helpful to hear it out loud. But the sacrament of reconciliation is, that's not a rebaptism, but a renewal of our baptism, once again being washed in the waters of the Lord's grace in reconciliation. So both are tied together in the same way the baptism liturgy and the funeral liturgy are intimately connected. Occasionally, I'll point that out during a funeral mass, and sometimes I don't. Our Proud brothers and sisters sometimes emphasize a different point of baptism. We really believe that there is an actual change in our soul. And in fact, our Lord tells us that we will have a name written on our forehead. The name is Jesus Christ, which we claim for the person at baptism. I'm getting ahead of myself. But at a funeral liturgy, we'll see the Easter candle, which is in the back there by the baptismal font. It's only half the size it was at the Easter vigil almost a year ago. That's how many baptisms. It's lit for the Easter season, and it's lit for each baptism. And the candle is a sign of faith. The white pall or the white cloth we put if there's a cremation symbolizes the white baptismal garment that we each wore when we were baptized or will wear. And the holy water is, of course, always a symbol of baptism. That's why we make the sign of the cross. We come into church. We know this. That's why the ideal place for the baptismal font is in the entrance of the church. And all the little holy water fonts are actually baptismal fonts. They're mini baptismal fonts. And it's a reminder. I'm the same as most of you, I suppose. We make a sign of the cross rather perfunctorily sometimes, in the Hispanic community. I've been doing Spanish mass so long, I picked up the little cross at the end, which is really a nice thing that our Hispanic brothers and sisters do. The whole idea of the cross comes from baptism itself. When we put three crosses on a child, the adult baptism is a little bit different. But we have the first one, I now claim you for Christ our Savior, and I now invite your parents and godparents to do the same thing. They're committing themselves, covering this baby with their faith. At that point, we're placing the name of Jesus on their forehead, and it will never be taken away. And as the bishop pointed out last night, I get to kipe a little of his sermon. He can come anytime. I wouldn't have to prepare a sermon after hearing his. But he was saying that, you may leave the faith, but you can't take away baptism. You could, God forbid, he's the one that said this, you could even become a Satanist, but you can't take baptism away. The word Jesus is on our forehead, and it will be forever, because we're changed. The waters of baptism, the water was sanctified by Jesus Christ, not just symbolically, but in a real sense, the world is already in the process of renewal. The water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, baptism is we are changed, just like priests have. We call it an ontological change. I cannot stop being a priest. I may be laicized, just like some of you had to have annulments in your marriage, but to have been married remains. To have been a priest is not correct. I will always be a priest. And even those who are laicized have the power of reconciliation and anointing of the sick in an emergency situation, even if you're laicized. Did you know that? So our Eastern brothers and sisters in the early church, we saw this in the letter of St. John early and during the week, the water, the blood, and the Spirit, the three together, those are the three sacraments of initiation. So we have baptism. You'll see this at the Easter Vigil. Eucharist, confirmation, those three together. And the only time I'm permitted to do all three is the Easter Vigil and on somebody's deathbed. That's called the continuous rite. I've had the privilege of administering that a number of times to people. And it's always in an urgent situation. A couple of times, somebody gravely ill has been coming through RCIA and doesn't quite make it. you know, so I'll come out to the hospital and administer the ritual with nobody present but the family. In a way, it's a very beautiful thing, too, to have that intimate one-on-one with somebody. It's a wonderful thing to watch that. Excuse me. And then they get the anointing of the sick. And so in the Eastern Church, you will find Eastern Orthodox, the ones united with Rome and separated, they still keep the three together at the time of baptism as a child. They'll baptize, they'll confirm, and then they'll give the Eucharist, which is done with a little drop, usually a little drop of water, consecrated wine, the blood of Christ on the tongue, and then confirmation. In the West, we began to separate these so the children and the age of First Communion has gone up and down over the years. Leo XIII set it at the age of reason at 7, so that's where that's we've had that since then in the modern era. But it's at the age of reason when the children can begin to understand what they are receiving. And then confirmation is another one whose age has gone up and down. It's somewhat in flux right now. We're still debating what the correct age for that is. I don't know about you, but mine was in the sixth grade. Now, that's early now, but way back in the 18th century when I was born. I didn't appreciate it and understand what was going on. I really didn't. It was just a hoop to go through. And when you're in high school, some kids really get into it. They understand, and some don't. And it's the risk that one takes. But I think that all of us at some point have to own our faith. It can't just be something that our parents haul us off to church. Mine, all we did was, we were at a faith-filled family. We would pray before meals. They tried to live good lives. We'd sit in the back of the church, and that was it. We'd come and go. They'd drop me off at CCD. Here I am. And it was a youth group that really clicked it on. And thank God for that. But the choice became my own at some point. Not my parents, but my own. And this baptism begins that process. One of my favorite stories, you'll probably remember this, but I can't help but tell this. I think of all the things that's happened, this would be the funniest one of these funny stories that occurs in sacraments. We had, again, the Hispanic community has this wonderful thing, at least we do it here, which I'd like to start imitating in the Anglo baptisms, but so far we haven't done this. But they will, right after baptism, one of the godparents will take the candle. I always joke, at least at the beginning, when that candle's twice as tall, I say, well, the tallest godparent come forward, you know, because we have to either lower it or get a ladder there. But they'll light the candles. One time there was a candle with wicks at both ends. I said, isn't this perfect for a parent burning the candle at both ends? I don't care if it's not funny. I'm going to keep telling that story. I certainly have a candle like that I burn. But, you know, they light the candle. It's right here at Easter, during Easter anyway. And it's a symbol of our faith, that flame. This flame is intended for you to be kept burning brightly. That's part of what is said at that point. Well, I had a baby here. It was about 1 year old, so it was a more with it baby, you know. When they're a month old, it's like, you know, they don't know what's going on. But I did. But this boy was not pleased to have had water put on his head and kept giving me dirty looks, really. So we got to the light, and you have the whole family is lined up back there or whatever in a circle, all four, the parents and godparents holding the candles. It's a really great image of this. And this baby's in the middle here, baby. I don't know, when they stop being babies and become toddlers, I don't know, but anyway. I said, this candle is to be kept for you to be burning brightly. And that baby, I was standing here, looked at me, gave me a dirty look, and went, not making it up, that's exactly what happened. No embellishment at all. I almost fell over, you know. I said, another happy Catholic. Well, God, that boy is in high school now. I wonder what he's like. boy, the personality comes out early. Oh, there goes my microphone. It just fell. One moment, please. these things are about $1,000, so let's be good stewards and let me put this back. Lord, last night Deacon read the wrong gospel. That was fun. Bishop gave me a look that said, you know, like, so I had to stop him mid-sentence. But then the bishop read the wrong preface, so it was a real... It was a wonderful human moment. You know, he said he'd never done that before. And anyway, it was wonderful, actually. Baptism is such a precious thing. We are all going to have a new name in heaven. What will your name be? My name's going to be Perfect Patience. Not. We don't know. But our parents give us a name. But the Lord gave us a name before we were born. This is a mystery of life. As though we seem to be an accident of two people meeting each other. It seems accidental for all of us, you know, planned or unplanned. You know, you may be expecting a baby after marriage or whatever, but sometimes we're a happy bundle is coming and we're not sure. We want it, but it's a surprise. But not to God. We're all known and loved. Jesus had a name before birth. He had pre-existence. We did not. But in the mind of God, he knew us. But, in fact, my birth certificate, how many of you know your actual baptism day? I'm not going to ask how you know it. If anybody baptized an adult knows it. I looked mine up after some priest said that. Mine is the Our Lady of the Rosary. I was real pleased because I like saying the rosary. But in heaven, we're going to have a new name. My baptismal name is Carrie, C-A-R-Y. And my grandparents got a hold of me. They changed it to Gary. Probably to claim ownership. I don't know why they did that. But there's another name coming. But all of us have the name of Jesus on our forehead. There's one cross, two crosses. There's next one's on the right under the... right on the chest, or if I can't get to it with a baby, I see under the chins, you know. And then another one again on the forehead after baptism, Father, Son, and Spirit. I'll finish with in the early church, people made the sign of the cross just like this. Baptism. It was very clear why we did this. A reminder of my baptism. The priest or deacon would have baptized just like that with that. But as time went on, people began to make the cross bigger. And the reason was, it was thought out, mind, mouth, ears, Jesus. See how wonderful this sign is? Later, it was extended to the heart, basically. Mind, heart, shoulders, Christ's cross, my cross, my salvation. But it was Saint Bernadette who was said to have had the most beautiful way of signing herself. Who knows what this was, but everybody noticed how beautifully she did it. The Virgin Mary taught her. Each time she had a vision in Lourdes, she would Our Lady would correct her and tell her, she said, "This is your salvation. This is a prayer." How often... I'm in the same boat as you are. How often do we think of this as a prayer? It's just something we do when we come in. This is our salvation. You know, his name is on my forehead. What a wonderful thing that God's name is on our foreheads. We are claimed as sons and daughters of God from baptism all the way to death when we have the funeral liturgy. Every time holy water is used, it's a sacramental. It does not in itself have power like a sacrament, but it's a locus for faith. Our faith is focused by that holy water. And so we thank God for our baptism and that Jesus himself... We thank God for our baptism and that Jesus himself was baptized. He sanctified the waters. He sanctifies our lives and leads us to everlasting life that we might, please God, join him in heaven. Amen. Now, if you'll stand today,